From Texas Public Radio, this is Texas Matters, a weekly radio news magazine that looks at the issues, events, and people in the Lone Star State. Today on Texas Matters, a trip to the Broken Spoke. For over 50 years, this legendary Austin honky-tonk has been serving cold beer and real country music. This is Texas Matters. From Texas Public Radio, I'm David Martin Davies. In 1964, James White opened the Broken Spoke, and on most nights, you can still find him there, welcoming customers and introducing bands with his Broken Spoke manifesto.
Here's the proud proprietor of world famous Broken Spoke, James White!
All right, thank y'all. Thank you, Dale. Welcome to Broken Spoke, the last of the true Texas dance halls, and damn sure proud of it. We ain't fancy, but we don't show our country. If you do this, we ain't gonna change nothing. We ain't getting none of them hanging fern baskets on our ceiling. Now that Pierre won't either. You're gonna put all your hamburgers on after that great poupon. You're getting the real mustard out here. Well, let me tell you what we do got. We got cold beer, good whiskey, we're the home of the best chicken fried steak in town. And we got good country music. We got Dale Watson tonight. And all them good looking girls and things put out here. We got Elizabeth on the famous Broken Spoke wagon wheel. She said we got some good-looking men to dance with. We're kind of rolling a chair, 49th year. We got people like Bob Wills right here, Willie Nelson, Jordan Strait, Dolly Parton, Chuck Ritter. The list goes on. But the best thing happened just a short time back.
The fact that the Broken Spoke still stands today is an act of defiance. It defies the economic pressure of Austin real estate, the banality of popular culture, and even time itself. Donna Marie Miller wrote the book, The Broken Spoke, Austin's Legendary Honky-Tonk, with the proprietor, James White.
This is a beloved institution that is now going into its 53rd year in existence, and many, many Texas musicians started there. And it's a place where very, very famous musicians have played over the years. And it just is, it houses so much music history and Austin history and Texas history inside its walls. And it contributes, I think, to Austin's music capital of the world theme. Nobody who visits Austin should avoid or not visit the Broken Spoke, and people from all over the world have visited it, and it's become, I think, as important as Austin is in terms of music history.
James White, you are the owner. You started the Broken Spoke. How did that happen?
Well, you know, it's a good story. I mean, it's my life's work. I'm extremely proud of it. It never ceases to amaze me that it's just a red, rustic old building with a dirt parking lot, and there's a big old oak tree by the highway. It means quite a lot, and that's kind of a coined phrase out of a song I wrote called The Broken Spoke Legend, but that all came later. When I was in the Army back in 1964, I started thinking back about all the good times I've had going out to dances with my parents when I grew up in Central Texas here, always in Austin, but we would kind of go to different dance halls, and my parents would just say, when Saturday night rolled around, I mean, they said, well, we're going honky-tonking, and that's what they did, and that's where a honky-tonk is where you have fun. You kind of kick up your heels after working hard all week, and there's always cold beer involved, and there's some drinking going on, and back in them days when I first opened up, and before then, we kind of brown bagged it, and you bring your bottle of whiskey with you. But it always had a live country band music, and you always danced. And that's kind of the difference between a honky-tonk and a dance hall. We're just kind of, we're a combination, and we're also a restaurant. And we have good food at the Broken Spoke. And so it's kind of like a, I tell people sometimes you got all three rings of the circus going, you know.
When we dance together, my world's in disguise. It's a fairyland tale that's come true. And when you look at me with those stars in your eyes, I could waltz across Texas with you. Waltz across Texas with you in my arms. Waltz across Texas with you like a storybook ending. I'm lost in your charms, and I could waltz across Texas with you.
We're the real deal as far as a honky-tonk. We were voted the best honky-tonk in Texas. But anyway, I was in the Army, and I was thinking, what am I going to do 1964 when I get out of the service? And I thought, you know, I always had a good time going to these places with my parents, whether it be a bar, a cafe, or a honky-tonk, or a dance hall. So I thought it would really be neat if I could get a place of my own. And so I started thinking, well, what am I going to name it? I was stationed down in San Antonio, Texas, which is only about an hour drive from Austin. And so I'd come home every weekend. The last 10 months I was in the Army, but I came back craving country music. I was 18 months in Okinawa, and we hardly ever heard a country music song over there. But anyway, I was craving for it, and so I thought, well, you know, I want something original. I want something, you know, with a Western Texas country name to it. So I started thinking about different things, and then I started thinking about wagon wheels kind of going around my brain. And I thought, you know, I'm going to go ahead and get me a couple of wagon wheels. I'm going to knock a spoke out of each one. I'll put it each side when you come in the door, and I'll name it the Broken Spoke. And that's where my start was. Beer was 25 cents a bottle. I'd run out of money. I was still building the Broken Spoke. And I went ahead and bought 5 cases of beer, and I was still painting the place. And so anyway, but you got to do what you got to do. And I sold that 5 cases of beer, and then I bought 10 cases, and I never looked back.
It's dance time in Texas, and we're striking up the band. Let's go honky-tonking, honey, take my hand. It's dance time in Texas, where the wine and music flow. We'll do that Texas two-step and that old Cotton Eye Joe. I'll take you honky-tonking in my old pickup truck. It's dance time in Texas, and the music lifts you up. It's dance time in Texas, and we're striking up the band. We'll go honky-tonking, honey, take my hand. It's dance time in Texas, where the wine and music flow. We'll do that Texas two-step and that old Cotton Eye Joe.
So you built it yourself, your hammer, your nails, and your sweat, putting that thing together.
That's exactly what I tell them, and it's in a song about with hammers and nails. They built it with Texas style in their mind. After 52 years of business, it's still one of a kind. It's a waltz tune. I like to write a song that kind of rhymes a little bit. You do a little poetry in motion kind of thing, you know. But anyway, it's I think I'm probably I've got the record of owning and building and naming a place of that sort. I don't think anybody has ever lasted 52 years. I was 25 when I built it, and with the help of my family, my relatives, and just anybody kind of walked down the street. Back in them days, they'd see construction going on, and they'd jump in, and they'd start driving nails in that red rustic old building.
Now, at the time, you were pretty much in the middle of nowhere, right?
Yes, sir. You know, I was a mile, the city limits was a mile down the road, on the right, next to a little place called Lone Oak Beer Joint. Now it's a El Rancho restaurant, but now it's about 4 or 5 miles to the west of me. But I had the city all around me, but I was in a pocket where I was in a county, and I could build it the way I wanted to. But, I mean, I had a lot of drawbacks to that also because I didn't have city sewer. I didn't have city water. I had to talk to the gas company and to go out of their way to pipe gas to me. And then all of a sudden, I thought, well, you know, how am I going to get any water? And so I went all the way over to Manchac Road, which was, I don't know, about 2,000 feet from our building. And I put a meter over there, which was in the city. And I told the city of Austin, I was going to water my horses. And so anyway, they bought it. So I just, PVC pipe had just gotten invented. And I just more or less kind of streamed it out on top of the ground. I didn't even have time to dig a decent ditch for it. And it would freeze up in wintertime. Our horse would step on it and break it. So then we'd have to have time out. We got to go patch a water line, you know. And anyway, we did it. And now we're all legal. I had a septic tank at first. And Jack's beer truck on delivery, he buried it in my septic tank all the way up to the axle. And it never worked right after that. But thank goodness, finally, I got in the city. And I'm all legally hooked up with a sewer line and water line. And but that, you know, that came by, I think, about 1970. I finally got legally in the city limits of Austin. But they would never let me build a broken spoke today like the broken spoke is. It's a live, living thing. And when you walk in the front door, you know damn good and well you're not at Carnegie Hall. You're in real honky-tonk. But anyway, it's just... You don't have to, it's kind of like a two-step back in time when you come in those doors. But I don't know, Austin, they don't want you to have anything with a little heart and soul in it and sweat and blood and tears. But I never did really let them cry. I mean, I never did let them see me cry because I'm not going to cry over it. But I wouldn't give them the satisfaction. But I worked hard to get the broken spoke rolling. And it's still rolling. It's rolling real well. We have real good crowds there because people, they want to go to the real old country music dance halls, and that's what the Broken Spoke is. And we were voted, you know, the best honky-tonk in Texas and also voted the best country dance hall in the nation.
Texas Matters. We're talking with Donna Marie Miller about her book, The Broken Spoke, and the owner of the legendary Honky Tonk was with us, James White. So let's talk about that, Donna Marie Miller, about the distinction between a dance hall and a honky tonk. Now, when you say dance hall, I think of the old German Czech dance halls that were peppered across central Texas and were the backbone of the original music scene for Texas, and also created the infrastructure for something like Bob Wills to take root in the state. And then on a honky tonk, I think of someone like George Jones. But both those seem to apply to the Broken Spoke, Donna.
I think that they do. In fact, I mentioned the distinctions in my book and use a lot of different references. But I initially, what you were talking about is the dance halls around the turn of the century began to come across the Texas, central Texas area into the panhandle, and they were populated by Germans and Czechs and all different nationalities, Spanish people, you name it, and they all brought their dance culture to the Texas state and enjoyed the dance halls as a community gathering place and to a place to pass on their culture to the other generations that were born here. But the honky tonks, that name originally was believed to have begun in New York, but the original honky tonks began to pop up separately, where they were mostly a drinking establishment where people got together to drink and to socialize. But what happened is with the Broken Spoke, we have both the bar area and you have a restaurant and you have the dance hall in the back. So it's the whole package. And you can stay all night. I mean, you can eat dinner there and have a few drinks and then also dance all night. And it's still a community, a meeting place where people in Austin, South Austin, get together to socialize. And many generations of families have traditionally visited the Broken Spoke. But I like Mr. White's definition of a honky-tonk that he's had since boyhood. I want him to share that with you. It's really cute.
Oh, you know, a lot of people, they say, well, what is a honky-tonk? And, you know, my definition is that, you know, years ago, you know, back here in the Model T days, and even in my days in the 50s when I was a teenager, you had to honk your horn a lot. And then back in the earlier days, they had them Ooga horns, but they always talked real loud, and they always liked to honk the horn to show that they were having fun and they were excited about it. And then all of a sudden, you're honking your horn, you're talking real loud, and then before you know it, you're honky-tonking. And so that's kind of my definition of it. But anyway, you won't really find that in a dictionary anywhere, but that's what always they kind of call the places in the South a tonk. And then some people, they call some redneck guy, maybe kind of a honky guy or whatever. But it all boils down to the honking and talking. And, I mean, it's just where you have fun. And that's why they had to go ahead and get the electrified instruments when they played a honky-tonk. And that was because they were so loud. It was banging beer bottles together and glasses and talking real loud. And so the band thought, well, you know, we got to get above all that honking and talking stuff. And so we're going to get electrified instruments with speakers. And that's what Ernest Tubb did. But when Bob Wills, I did get the book, Bob Wills at the Broken Spoke, in 1966 and 67 and 68. And I'll never forget it, you know, because I was up there bartending and I was 26 years old, and I don't know, everybody at the bar, you know, back in them days, they're a lot older than I was, and they figured I didn't know what the heck I was talking about anyway, and it's probably about half right, because I kind of learned as I went along the road of being a honky-tonk operator. But anyway, I told them I was real proud of it, because Bob Wills was a household name when I grew up in Austin, Texas, and you know, aha, take it away, boys. You know, it's Bob Wills. And so I told them, I said, well, you know, I've got Bob Wills tonight. It was Friday night. And they said, well, you don't know what you're talking about. He'll be drunk. He'll be chasing women. He'll be in the hospital. He ain't going to be here. But then about that time, Bob Wills opened the door, and he had his cowboy hat on, had a cigar in his mouth and a fiddle on his arm. And all them same old drunks, they started whispering, said, man, that's Bob Wills. And so that was really a proud moment for me to walk Bob Wills up on the stage at the Broken Spoke. That was my first big star ever booked.
You ought to see my blue-eyed Sally. She lives way down on Shinbone Alley. The number on the gate and the number on the door. And the next house over is a grocery store. Stay all night, stay a little longer. Dance all night, dance a little longer. Pull off the coat, throw it in the corner. I don't see why I don't stay a little longer. Can't go home if you're going by the mill, cause the bridge washed out at the bottom of the hill. The big creek's up and the little creek's level. I plow my corn with a double shovel. Stay all night, stay a little longer. Dance all night, dance a little longer. Pull off your coat, throw it in the corner. I don't see why I don't stay a little longer.
Country. Country is the root, and the authenticity of country that you provide, Mr. White. So, Donna Marie Miller, can you talk about the importance of authenticity at the Broken Spoke?
When you walk into the Broken Spoke, the walls are covered with memorabilia, photos of all the people who have played there over the years. Bob Wills, Ernest Tubb, Jerry Jeff Walker, Willie Nelson. Dolly Parton filmed a movie there as well, Wild Texas Wind. Kitty Wells visited and performed there. So this is not just a place where it looks like a country western hangout. This is a country western bar, restaurant, dance hall, honky-tonk, whatever you want to call it. And the people there are authentic as well. You know, James White is a real cowboy. He may wear some rhinestones and look a little bit like Gene Autry, but I think that he epitomizes the real cowboy because he owns horses and he owns cattle and he works the land. And so he's not your Hollywood cowboy, and he's not a representation of a cowboy when he wears his platinum silver Stetson hat and puts on his Western wear. And neither is Annetta White. Both of them, Mr. White grew up in Oak Hill and this area, and his family goes back several generations. So they're authentic. They're the real deal, and all their kids are too. And Annetta's family is also from the Austin area, and her family is originated in Fredericksburg, the German population there. But anybody who visits the Broken Spoke will see that the cowboys' ways are worshipped in these glass cases between the pool room and the dining room. You can see the nudie suits, the famous Hollywood cowboys wore, and the guitars that real, very professional, famous people signed and played at one time. And it's one of the reasons why Garth Brooks came to the Broken Spoke in March when he was here for South by Southwest, because he wanted to visit a real country honky tonk, and boy did he. And he played for 45 minutes straight. And when he left, I'll let Mr. White tell you the gift that he made to James White.
Yeah, you know, that was very exciting. We had to kind of keep a secret that Garth Brooks was coming, and we had to keep a secret about a week. And I didn't even tell my granddaughter, and she got kind of upset with me, and my banker got mad at me for not telling him. But I wanted to make sure that it wouldn't be so huge a crowd that Garth Brooks himself couldn't even get in our parking lot. So anyway, it worked out good, and as it is, they kind of dropped a few hints, and I got to visit with him outside. See, backstage at the Broken Spoke is in their parking lot. I don't really have a backstage area. But anyway, he was very nice, and anything I wanted him to do, he was going to do it, you know. And so I said, well, you know, I'm going to introduce you like I introduced all these other bands. And he said, you go up there and do whatever you want to do. And so I introduced him, and it was a proud moment for me, because when I got on the stage, you know, it was like all these people were all standing all around the stage. But one thing, they respected it, and nobody really jumped up on the stage to try to disrupt anything. And I couldn't even get off the stage. It was so crowded that night. And Donna Marie, she had a ringside seat. Anyway, at the end of the night, he did 45 minutes, just him and his guitar. It was a great show. I'll never forget it. And at the end, he turned around and he handed me his guitar and he said, this is for you. And I didn't really expect that. I was kind of lost for words. And all of a sudden, you know, then he took off, you know. But I'm going to get a case for the guitar and proudly display it at the Broken Spoke, you know, because it's one of those things that you always remember. Like, you know, I always remember the first time I had Willie Nelson. I always remember George Strait when he played there. And I remember Dolly Parton. And I'll always remember the night that Garth Brooks came there. Even though we've had probably about 30 Country Music Hall of Famers that have came in there over the years. And it just keeps on coming. Like, my daughter does dance lessons. And she teaches a lot of people how to dance. And it helps us and it helps them. They don't have to sit there and listen all night. They can get up and dance.
Is that line dancing?
No line dancing at the Broken Spoke. you know, we like to hold our partner out there, and it's just one of those things, and we always dance counterclockwise, and mainly it's the Texas two-step. And then she also teaches waltzes and Cotton Eye Joe. And for private dance lessons, you know, some other place, she can teach, you know, line dancing, because she's a very good dancer. She learned how to dance when she was about 3 years old at the Broken Spoke. But anyway, I tell you what, this year she taught Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas how to dance. He had a great time out there. He had about six United States Marshals with him, but they just kind of give him breathing room out there where he could walk around and eat and carry on and learn how to dance and have a great time.
You got to dance with who brung you, swing with who swung you. Don't be a fickle fool. If you came here with a gal who has always been your pal, don't leave her for the first unattached girl, it just ain't cool. You gotta dance with who brung you, swing with who swung you. Life ain't no 40-yard dash. Be in it for the long run. In the long run, you'll have more fun if you dance with who brung you to the back.
So much has changed in Austin since you first cracked open that first long neck many, many years ago, particularly with the geography around the Broken Spoke, where you used to be out in the middle of nowhere by yourself. Now the city has grown up around you, and you're surrounded by high-rises.
Well, you know, I kind of feel like some people ask me that question. I said, well, you know, I kind of feel like the Alamo, you know, in a way, because you look at the Alamo and you hear all the great things that happened there, and then you see, you know, kind of a short kind of building there, and then all around it is skyscrapers. But I kind of feel the Broken Spoke is kind of in that same category, and I literally kind of drew a line in the, like a sword in the sand out there at the Broken Spoke, a dirt parking lot, and I just said, well, I'm not leaving. I might not be able to pay $14 million for this 7 acres of land around me, but if they want to put apartments up there, I mean, I wouldn't have put apartments up there, but a lot of those people that do live there, they do come to the Broken Spoke, and I appreciate that. But Austin has really changed, and you got to kind of go with the flow, and you always got to get new customers and new business people. And so I think that my new goal in life is to teach all these newcomers how to enjoy country music, how to dance to country music, and how to properly behave yourself when you come to a real country landmark, historical dance hall named the Broken Spoke.
When you are sad and lonely and have no place to go, come to see me, baby, and bring along some dough, and we'll go honky-tonkin', 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 honey, baby. We'll go honky-tonkin' round this town.
James White is the owner of the Broken Spoke. It's been serving cold beer and real country music since 1964. We were joined by Donna Marie Miller, author of the book that tells its story, The Broken Spoke, Austin's Legendary Honky Tonk. It's published by Texas A&M University Press. That's it for this edition of Texas Matters. Thanks for listening. I'm David Martin Davies. You can write to us with an email to texasmatters@tpr.org. You can also write directly on our show page on our website at tpr.org. That's where you can find past Texas Matters programs to listen to, and you can find us on iTunes. And tune in again next week for another edition of Texas Matters from Texas Public Radio.